chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Pastor Nathan was telling me, if you know anything about the wilds, he grew up in the wilds. He said, I saw that verse and quoted that verse many, many times over the year. 1 Corinthians 10:31, because the wilds have made it a practice over the years to whenever they get ready to pray for their meal, they'll quote 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, which says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we're going to be looking at this whole idea of the glory of God. Now, let me just briefly go through this. We are talking about finding God's God's will through biblical principles. Now, a principle is a basic truth that applies to all areas of life. So we go to the Bible and we find out what God says on a given subject. And even though He doesn't always spell out things for us, we can follow these principles. So these principles can help us. I mentioned Sunday that the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of the course of this world, the contemporary age, that is worldliness. And as we mentioned Sunday, that every generation has a particular direction for its generation. You know, we talked about the Dark Ages and the Enlightenment and all of these different ages. Of course, we are in a technological age. We're in a computer age. And so there are very unique temptations for us regarding the computer world that they did not face 200 years ago. And so therefore, we have to take the biblical principles and apply those principles to this current age. So we mentioned some different principles. The principle of faith. We asked the question, do I doubt this? Number two, the principle of personal harm. Will this hurt me? Will it hurt me physically? Will it hurt me mentally? Will it hurt me spiritually? We mentioned thirdly, the principle of addiction. And will this control me? 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. So we have to always be careful about things that are addicting. Number four, the principle of being a stumbling block. And will this hurt others? We spent 3 weeks going over that. Last week, we quickly went over the principle of being a godly witness. And can I effectively witness to others while I'm doing this? See, these are all principles that will help us to know God's will. Now, tonight, I'm going to begin a little study on the principle of glorifying God. The principle of glorifying God. And I think this might take us a little while. I'm not sure. I don't think we'll finish tonight. I know we won't. And so the question that comes to mind here is, okay, when it says give all to the glory of God, what does that mean? So often we will talk about glorifying God. Now we have Christmas songs that talk about glorifying God. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain. And then we sing that marvelous chorus, glory. You know, so we sing this. And then there's that little phrase that we're all familiar with, in excelsis Deo. Now, what does that mean? Literally, that's Latin for the idea of glory to God in the highest. That's what that means. We sing the song, glory to God, glory in the highest. You know, so we sing songs like that. Angels from the realms of glory. Or, hark the herald, angels sing glory to the newborn king. We sang tonight, who is he in yonder star? The King of Glory. So what is this idea of glorifying God? And so often we have a wrong idea. The word is doxē, so that's where we get the word doxology. So the idea of a doxology has the idea of having a right opinion. Now let me explain something. I have a little article that you'll be glad I don't read all of this. But this is very interesting, and it talks about this whole idea, doing all to the glory of God. It starts with the Westminster Catechism. Do you know what the Westminster Catechism asks? The very first question, what is the chief and highest end of man? Well, in a catechism, it's kind of a question-answer time. So in response, the answer is, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. That is ultimately why you are here. Now, some people think that the greatest reason that you're here is to win people to Christ. But that's not true. The greatest thing that you can do is to bring glory to God. Now, certainly winning people to Christ glorifies God. But ultimately, we have to understand this. Now, the article mentions that in the Old Testament, glory meant the weight or worth of something. And just as we say someone's opinion carries weight, the glory of God is the worthiness of God. More specifically, the presence of God in the fullness of His attributes. So we could also talk about the excellencies of God. And God is totally excellent. God is not just present, He's omnipresent. He's not just powerful, He's omnipowerful, omnipotent. He is not just knowledgeable, He's omniscient. God is excellent in everything He does. And it's important that we understand that when you go to the Bible, and honestly, I have bit off more than I can chew, because we're actually just going to focus on one aspect of the glory of God. You'll talk about in the Old Testament, you'll see this kind of glory. When God comes down and He fills the temple, we're going to talk about that a little bit this Sunday night. We look into the Scripture and we find that there is a sense in which God's glory was so bright that when Moses went to see Him, he had to, you know, he walked away from that and his face was what? Shining. So he had to cover his face with a veil. We're told that Jesus, when He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, His glory shined so much so that it tells us in different books that it was like snow, it was like lightning. And so God's glory does speak of His excellencies. And this article says that all the various meanings of glory can be described or combined to describe the intrinsic worth, character, and majestic splendor of God. In short, God's glory is the radiant manifestation of His person or presence. And to glorify God is to make His person, His character, or presence evident in any particular situation. As I mentioned, it's the word doxa. And in the New Testament, that word has the idea of opinion. 145 times it is used as the word glory. 10 times it's used as the word glorious. 6 times it has to do with honor. 4 times it has to do with praise. So which means, so I am to glorify God. I am to glorify Him. I am to honor Him. I am to praise Him. He is God. And that is what the idea is. 2 times the word is translated dignity. Interesting word, actually, in the book of Jude, where it says that they refused to give honor to dignities, to the glory. So it is a very interesting word. At one time, it is translated worship. So our focus, though, has to do with this. Okay, so we are to give others the right opinion of God. If we give people the wrong opinion of our God, we have not glorified Him. So when we're actually talking about the principle of glorifying God, we understand that there is a sense that no matter what we do, and that's what 1 Corinthians 10:31 is telling us, and it's within the context of eating meats offered to idols and so forth, but when it's telling us there, it said even when you're eating, even when you're drinking, you should give others, as well as yourself, the right opinion of God. So that is essential, that is key. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. So, understanding this principle, I thought, well, I could spend a lot of time, and I'm sure it would be beneficial to us in a way, and maybe we'll do this by way of application, but we could spend a lot of time showing what glorifying God is not. And we could certainly find that in glorifying God, we are going to need to make sure we understand His glory. So, I'm going to have to do a lot of this by memory. Ah, I did bring it. I thought, oh no, I didn't bring my outline. That's a preacher's nightmare. So you say, well, I better know it well enough. I could have given a lot of this. So what I want to talk about is, okay, so what does give God the glory? So how can we glorify God? Now, there are several verses, and honestly, like I said, I bit off more than I could chew, because there's many verses that show us how we can glorify God. Did you know that? A lot of verses. First of all, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to just go through this until we're done tonight. Luke chapter 17. Now, here is the story of the 10 lepers. And the scripture tells us that these 10 lepers came to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Does anybody know? He healed them. And then it tells us in verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And of course, Jesus asked the question, where's the other nine? But one of the ways that you can demonstrate to others as well as help yourself to glorify God is to be thankful. Now, we just came through Thanksgiving, and it's good for us to be reminded that we ought to be thankful. If you go over to the book of Romans chapter 1, and I hope you will look at some verses with me this evening. Romans chapter 1. It tells us in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, I want you to think about that. What is he talking about? The invisible things of him from creation. Now, when I look at the sky and I look at the mountains, we had an earthquake this morning, by the way. Do you know that? You know, and so when you have something like that and you see all this going on in our lives, and we look at creation, there's a lot that we can tell about God through creation. We can see that God is a beautiful God. God is very careful in how he made us. He's very capable of making everything in sync. We get the word cosmos, which is the world, which means that God has properly arranged things. And so, even though I don't see God, I can see the beauty of God. See, that's what Psalm 19 says. The heavens declare, do you know what it says? The glory of God. Now, the invisible things, verse 20, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And we see his eternal power. In verse 21, that when people knew God, so in other words, they knew that somebody up there had to have made this. And yet they glorified him not. How did they not glorify him? Because they were not thankful. See, that's what that verse says in verse 21. So, one of the things that we can be absolutely aware of is that if I am going to glorify God, I need to learn to be a thankful person. And again, as we saw, as we studied some of the passages such as Psalm 100 and everything, give thanks for this is the will of God. We're talking about God's will. And we see all these things. We have to understand that a negative, pessimistic attitude is not glorifying to God. And if I have an attitude that is totally bummed out, I'm just in a bummed out mood, then there is something that is not glorifying to that. We are not demonstrating to God and to others how excellent he is. So, one of the things that we need to understand is that when we give thanks, we are glorifying God. Number two, let me show you another one. Look over to Romans. You're in Romans 1. Look over to Romans chapter 4. Now, this is speaking about Abraham. And it tells us that in verse 19, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. Now, of course, if you know anything about Abraham, Abraham was, he is a description of faith. You'll see in the New Testament, God talks about his faith made him righteous. And it tells us there in verse 20 that he was strong in faith. And notice what that did, giving glory to God. So glorifying God is something that we do when we just trust God. And we just have to take God at his word. And whenever we just say, okay, God, you said it, that settles it. You know, I'm going to just trust you. That glorifies God. Now, the world around us might be saying, oh, give up on God. Don't worry about God. He He doesn't really exist. And all of these things. This is the God of this world. But we must be very, very careful that we are strong in faith. And I won't have you turn this, but let me quote to you John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said to Martha, he said, and Mary and Martha, he said, if thou wouldst believe, speaking about Lazarus, he said, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Now that's an amazing thing. So lack of faith does not glorify God. And when people see our lives, we have to ask ourselves, okay, am I truly glorifying God? If I do such and such a thing, or if I make a decision financially, or make a decision in my life, because, you know, I just don't know if God's going to take care of me. Well, that doesn't glorify God. Now, you take tithing, for instance. You want to see something that mathematically doesn't make sense. You'll see in the scripture, if you give, you'll get. And the whole idea of trusting God and saying, okay, God, I don't understand it, but you said it, so therefore I'll do it. Now, we'll talk about that more in January. But here's the idea of glorifying God in faith. There's a third way that we can glorify God. Now, I know we won't get through this because I have at least 17 of them. So, just so that you know. Okay, number three. Turn over with me to the book of John. The book of John. And I believe it's in chapter 15. John chapter 15. All right. Got to make sure I have the right verse here. Okay, John chapter 15. Am I right on this? What's that? John chapter 15, verse 8. I was in 14. No wonder it didn't make sense to me. Yeah, it is chapter 15. I didn't write the reference. John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and what will happen? It be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. And basically what he is telling us here is that we need to understand that when we ask, the Bible tells us that the Father is glorified. And so we need to be praying rightly. And the verse that I'm really needing, I have the verse, I don't have the reference. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So it wasn't verse 8. But it's all good. But here's the point, that we find that there is a sense in which prayer, praying rightly, glorifies God. So for instance, when we pray tonight, and if we are praying with a right heart, and our hearts are right with God, if we do not regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will hear us. Certainly we should pray in faith. So when we pray, that glorifies God. So praying rightly. All right, it is chapter 14, verse 13. I'm sorry. Look over 14, 3. I want you to see this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The fourth thing I want you to see is, if you go over to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. Now, notice verse 9. Now, it tells us about the in heaven that when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. So it tells us here that in heaven, the four beasts, we can look at the residents in heaven, but that when they praise God, they give God the glory. So whenever we are celebrating God's praises, whenever we are uplifting God and we're saying, you know, God, you are wonderful, that glorifies God. Notice Revelation chapter 11. Now let's go over to chapter 11 of the book of Revelation and verse 13. And it tells us here that this is during the trumpet judgments. This is the sixth trumpet. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted. All right? And what did they do? They gave glory to the God of heaven. So the point is that when we ever acknowledge God's power, now you ever just walk out there and see the stars and the moon and you say, man, isn't God big? And whenever we are doing things like that, and we are in our hearts just glorifying and showing how great he is. You know, we sing the song, How Great Thou Art. Well, that is glorifying God. You know, was it Abraham Lincoln who said, you know, I can see how men could look upon the earth and see all the troubles that's going on. And he said that when I hear men, they look at all of this, I can understand how they could say I'm an atheist. But he said, I cannot understand whenever I look at the heavens and the glories, God of heaven. I cannot understand how somebody could look at that and say there is no God. And there is a sense in which we glorify God. You know, and so sometimes maybe you're at work and surprise somebody sometime and say to them, hey, isn't God good? And they'll say, what? Say, you know, I just want to just tell you that, you know, I have found God to be so wonderful. That glorifies God. You know, I'm not attacking you, I'm just telling you who God is. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we've already addressed this, so I'm only just going to cross this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, and notice what it says, glorify God in your body. So we glorify God when we take care of our bodies. We glorify God when we are truly and genuinely living a life that says, I'm going to take care of my body. And of course, we mentioned how the principle of harm, how you can hurt yourself physically, and you got to be careful about doing that. But whenever someone looks at you and they see, well, there's somebody who's taking care of himself, that glorifies God. Revelation chapter 14. Can we go over there? Revelation chapter 14. I guess this will be our last one. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. Revelation 14 verse 7. Now, it tells us that during this great tribulation period, in verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach on them that dwell on the earth, in every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And this angel said with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of water. Now, it's interesting that in verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because they made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. So it's interesting here that there is a glory that we give to God when we recognize, you know, God is judging. And sometimes we think, oh no, oh my, God's judging. No, that's a good thing, because many people come to God when God is judging. But I want you to see, in contrast to that, look over to chapter 16 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 16, verse 9. When men were under the judgment of God, it says they were scorched with great hail and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him glory. So what we have to understand is sometimes, you know, God will have to chasten us. God will sometimes allow, because of the sins of the nation or whatever, to allow judgment to come. And we do not glorify God when it doesn't move us, when we become kind of cold toward the world around us. That does not glorify God. When we are not made better because we have been under the judgment of God, that is not glorifying God, when we're not made better. But when we say, now Lord, You are righteous and You can't let sin go unpunished, that gives glory to God, because God is always holy and God is righteous. Now, I'm just showing you that there are many verses in the Bible that tell us what it means to glorify God. And if we are not careful, we can allow ourselves to live in a way that does not glorify God. It does not give others the right opinion of God. It does not allow us to have the right opinion of God. And we have to be very, very careful. Now, we'll expand on this more, but our time is up, so I have to quit. Our Father, we ask that You would work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to truly give You glory, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do. Help us, Lord, to give You the glory. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.